Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Glad to have you with us at Burden and Blessing today. We are continuing our series on Christian parenting this morning. Last time we took up our first section, which sort of laid a foundation for the importance of parenting and the scriptural view of children. In our podcast today, we're going to be building on that with the importance of Christian instruction in the home. This is one of those things that we kind of should just take for granted, that this is a part of our role and our responsibility that God has given to us as parents. But it isn't always that way, not only in our society, but also within our own lives. We often lose sight of this. So we pray that the Lord would bless our study today as we take a look at some of the biblical foundations and the importance for ongoing Christian instruction in the home. Joining me to go through this section, part two of our study on Christian parenting, is Pastor Neil Radical. Neil, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Nathaniel. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Pastor Mayhew, sorry.
That's all right. So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance and the value of Christian instruction. And we're going to start that off by taking a look at some Bible passages that talk about this. Some of these passages are pretty familiar. A lot of us have grown up hearing these passages, learning these passages in catechism class, etc. But I think when we start to put it in the context of a parent and the role of the parent in their relationship to their child, it kind of puts it into a different perspective too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with these first two verses we're going to look at, it really shows how the parent and child really work together to remind one another of the importance of God's word. The child pointing the parent to the need to be encouraged, to be reminded, and the parent recognizing their responsibility, like we talked about last time, of that foundation that is needed for the child as well, that they both can learn and grow and benefit from.
One of the things we had talked about last time was the tendency in our modern culture, in particular, of farming out responsibility of our children to other people. And that can be in school, you know, with sending them to school and that I want them to get educated, so I'm going to have somebody else do that. But it also comes into play in relation to Christian education, doesn't it? That many times, I think we fall into this category of thinking, well, if I send my kids to catechism class or I send my kids to Sunday school, that's the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. That's the teacher's responsibility. That's the pastor's responsibility. And losing sight of the fact that, no, it's still my responsibility as a parent. And that's going to come into play in this discussion too, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. And what's interesting too, transitioning from that foundational one, society's view of children, you know, you expect unbelievers to say, well, I'm going to let my child grow up and believe whatever they want to believe. But sadly, I've heard a lot of Christian parents not maybe say that, but behave that way, kind of taking that back seat. And if you don't believe me, look at some of the parents who have children who are adults who say, well, they're older now, they're grown kid themselves, I can't influence them or teach them anything or give them advice anymore, which is completely wrong and false. So I think there's no age limitation on this first section we're looking at from Deuteronomy 6. Were you planning on reading that?
Yeah, let's read into this. This is a familiar section. This is, if you think about Deuteronomy is the final words of Moses to the children of Israel. So he's about to die. And these words carry some weight. He's trying to remind them of what they're going to be confronted with as they move into heathen territory, all of the influences of that heathen territory. And he says, you don't want to lose sight of holding on to the truth of God's word and making it a focus in the education of the next generation. So he says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So one of the amazing things about this section is just how Moses is encouraging us as Christians to make God's word a part of our everyday life. Anything and everything that we are doing, God's word applies to that, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, and I think this, I want to reiterate that comment I made before. We could especially see this of the Lord through Moses teaching the young parents. Yeah, you got young children at home. This, you want to start this from little on up and continue to use the word of God to lead and direct them. But I do want to make that point again, that he's not specifying how young or old this next generation is. So if it's a generation where now the children have become the parents themselves, how can grandparents get involved with that soon-to-be grandparent there, Nathaniel? And as children leave home, which, you know, it's, or move out, as I've just experienced this week a little bit, again, with our oldest son going off to high school, you know, the idea is that, okay, now my opportunities to do this are a little bit more limited or different. And every phase of a child's life, no matter if they're a young child or adult, it looks different, but it keeps happening. I think that's Moses's point, is that you don't stop parenting ever. It just changes. It looks different in every phase of your child's life, or niece or nephew, or whoever it might be in your life. You don't have to have children. It's how right. Are you influencing the next generation is what Moses, I think, is ultimately saying here.
Yeah, and you look at those. So this is a parenting series, but you're right. The concepts that are laid out here do apply to a broader group of people. It's not just parents. You know, we have some family members that, you know, don't have children, but they are wonderful examples for our children, for their nieces and nephews. And you think about those individuals maybe that we've even had in our own lives that were mentors for us, not specifically related to us. Maybe that mentor was a teacher. Maybe that mentor was an aunt or an uncle or just a member of the church who kind of took us under our wing, a sponsor from our baptism. You know, that concept of mentorship, Christian mentorship, is so vital. And it's one of those things that it's needed just as much, if not more, today than it was in previous generations because of the attacks against Christianity and because of the worldliness of the world in which we live today. Extremely important. And that's what Moses' point is here, is that we're going to get into this just a little bit. But comment there just a little bit, Neil, on the fact that he says that this is something that parents or mentors should be looking for the opportunity to discuss in the day-to-day activities of life. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, they should be around you in your homes. You know, comment just a little bit on just using and applying God's word with every little opportunity.
Yeah, I've got actually a lot of comments, but I'll try to keep it brief. So it's funny when you see the Jewish people, especially around the time of Jesus, the Pharisees taking this so literally and actually literally binding scripture in a little box over their forehead or on their parts of their body, you know, because they were saying, yeah, we're going to bind this to our frontlets between our eyes and so forth. But remember, God wants that word to be in our heart, not just something we wear. But I don't blame them for doing that, because I also like to do the same thing. I like to wear my faith on my sleeve, literally. And, you know, I was just thinking this yesterday where I get tired of forgetting my mask in my car. So Aaron and I are looking into getting the scarf that you can pull up. And I was like, well, I'm a Christian. I want to let my faith shine. So now I'm looking into scarves that you can have passages printed on them. And that's kind of the idea here, is looking for opportunities to share God's word with everyone that we can. Nice one there. I like that mask you're showing me. Jesus God. It's the same idea there. You're looking for teachable opportunities. And I really think that's the idea that you mentioned there, of that God's counsel being all around us. And so I know you'd put down Psalm 1, and maybe I'll read that because I want to hear your thoughts of why you picked Psalm 1 with this idea of having God's word being our counsel, or looking to the mentors in our life that would counsel us as well. So Psalm 1, we're reading the first three verses there, if you're okay with me going into that.
Absolutely.
Right. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What were your thoughts on that verse?
Earlier, Neil, you mentioned, you know, that there's this mentality in our world that says, you know, well, I'm just going to let my kids make up their own mind, or I'm going to let them figure this out on their own. And while there can be good in that, there's also danger in that. And ultimately, God does call us as parents not to just let our kids make up their own minds, not to just expose them to the world and let them figure it out, but to teach them, to guide them, to instruct them. We are, you know, you think about when our children are born, they are wicked. They are ungodly. They are separated from God. The natural man is at enmity with God. He's contrary to God. And so what God expects us as Christian parents to do is to lead them, to direct them, to instruct them, to teach them in God's word so that they know the difference between what is good for them, what is bad for them. And this psalm is a beautiful one in describing the dangers of exposing ourselves to the wickedness of the world and the blessings of exposing us to the truth of his word. There's these two contrasts. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's danger there. But there's also this blessing. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That doesn't mean it's just, ho-hum, yeah, I could take it or leave it. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He longs for that. He wants to meditate on that. We realize the value that is ours, the gift that God offers to us through his word of truth. And there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing. Why would we withhold that from our children? The most important thing of all. We wouldn't bring our children home from the hospital when they're born and then not feed them. We know what's going to happen. The same thing is true spiritually, that we need to give them that most important thing, and that is the truth of God's word throughout the days of their life. Instruct them and teach them so that they are equipped to face the ungodliness of the world, the sinners of the world, the scornful in the world when they get older.
You use the example of warning, and I guess I like the idea of what we do when we bring the children home and that mentality of the world today where it's just like, well, I'm going to let them grow up and believe whatever they want to believe, or let them choose to believe. You know, I think the best illustration I can think of with that is children. I remember growing up, the natural inclination is to want to play in the street. It's huge. There's tons of room. It's beautifully paved. It's wonderful. It's exciting out there. You know, they don't have the trees in the way or the balls being kicked or baseballs thrown around, but it's very dangerous. And so a parent doesn't say, well, I'm not going to warn them about potential cars coming around the corner or coming speeding down the road. Of course I do. I warn them of those things. So in that sense, I'm not saying, well, I'm going to let them decide what they want to do. That parenting for their safety is true of that physically, playing in the street, or as Psalm 1 saying, you got to watch out spiritually for what you surround yourself with, where you put yourself, where you put your faith, because that is a dangerous thing to be surrounded by the wickedness of the world or the lies of Satan, just like playing in a street. It's very, very dangerous. Can you do it and be okay? Yeah, but it's not recommended.
And sooner or later, you're going to pay the price, you know?
Right.
So you don't want to play that game, especially when the Lord is the one who's warning us and saying,
right,
you know, I know better than you. This is not something that is healthy for you. This is going to take a toll on you sooner or later, whether you realize it or not.
So let's talk about then bad habits versus good habits, where we're playing, so to speak, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there again, I think this fits in nicely with both Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 1 in showing, again, the Lord warns of the dangers, and then he encourages the use of his word. But one passage that we talked about was 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. There's the old illustration that I've used, and maybe you have too, Neil, of the barrel of apples. You know, you have this barrel of good apples, and you throw one bad apple in there, You know, and it's got worms and all kinds of, you know, grubs and, you know, stuff in there. And what are they going to do? They're going to eat through that apple. And when they're done with that one, they're not going to say, huh, those are all good apples. We'll leave them alone. They're going to work their way through that entire barrel. And then the whole barrel is going to be ruined. There's this mindset that people have today that if you have a whole barrel full of bad apples and you throw one good apple in there, the good apple is going to change all of the bad apples. And it just, that's not the way it works. We have this in our mentality in the world today where many times, again, Christian parents with good intentions say, I want my children to be a witness to the unbelieving children in my community, whether that be going to the public school or whatever, or if it happens to be. And that's a dangerous thing. And while a child can be a witness, and we want to teach our children to be witnesses, ultimately, we realize that the biblical analogy there of 1 Corinthians 15 is more likely to take place. If we put our godly child into an unbelieving environment, it's more likely that they're going to be exposed to the ungodliness of that environment, and they're going to be changed as opposed to the other way around. And that's why it's so important that we work when our children are young to give them that solid foundation, to train, to educate, to instruct, to prepare them when they are young, so that when they are old and they do have to go out in the world, but they don't have any choice. They have to go out in the world. They're prepared. And they have that solid foundation that says, I know how to answer this. But if we send them out when they're 3 and 4 in kindergarten and preschool, and they don't have that solid foundation, we can't be surprised when they come back parroting the views of the world. Because they're going to be influenced by those things. So evil company corrupts good habits. That we have to be concerned about what we're exposing our children to. And that's two-sided. Number one, what we're exposing them to the world. And are we then laying that foundation for them in the word?
Yeah, I was going to mention it does come back to the parents, because we think about Christian parenting, we're looking at it as what can we teach the children? But then you get that whole idea of what am I modeling as a parent? Because I'm teaching more with my actions than just my words. And so that Christian instruction in the home really begins with my example, my model of Christian behavior, because they're surrounded by my habits. You know, that doesn't work to say, do as I say and not as I do, because we're still modeling the wrong thing. So I think that these verses are really helpful because they point to the fact that we can be that evil company that corrupts our child's good habits that we're trying to teach them. And so it starts with, how are we being served ourselves? You know, if we're going to lay a foundation for the kids, then we have to have something to stand on ourselves. And that's why I've always tried to pray for wisdom in doing this. And we look at different devotion books, and Aaron and I are always trying to find good, solid devotion books that help us with this. And just trying to keep it in front of our family, whether it be, you know, we're going to be talking about here in a little bit of how to do this, but specifically as a transitional point, I always was told that, you know, there's different devotion writers that do a good job of taking normal everyday life things and then making them teachable moments. Like Herman W. Gockel with his My Hand in His, that book when I was growing up, used a lot of different illustrations about trees and the grass and things that we'd see every single day, things, household items. And really pointing us back to scripture and how we can use those items as teachable moments, like salt, for example, and how Jesus talks about salt and losing its saltiness doesn't do anything, you know, and how it can season and flavor. That's what the Christian life should be like. How to do that can be challenging, especially if you're not used to doing it or if it's out of the blue. The child's like, what are you doing? But if you're used to doing it or you get in the habit of doing it, it comes back to that 1 Corinthians 15, good habits continue to model how we can see everything in our life every day. You know, the living water that we drink, the daily water that's needed for our bodily health, and how we can use that as teachable examples for our children to remind them of the importance of God's word in their day-to-day life and being surrounded by good habits in the company that they keep.
Yeah, you know, I love those illustrations, and this takes us back to Deuteronomy 6 again, the everyday opportunities that we have. But, you know, that's what's so important is that when we are with our kids out at the store, and our kids see somebody, maybe they hear somebody say something, they take God's name in vain, or you know, maybe they see a police officer arresting somebody. Those are those opportunities that we have as parents to say, well, you know, why did that person say that? Why does, what does God say about that? Those are those teachable opportunities where the rubber meets the road, and it's the real life application. But as a parent, you have a greater opportunity to do that with your child and to apply the truths of God's word to their daily lives than anybody else in their life, at least right now.
So the thing, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to finish the thought.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so in the last like 10 minutes or so of our podcast here, I think we wanted to ask, what does this look like then? We totally agree. Scripture directly teaches us that we need to be good examples of this, and we're praying for strength and wisdom and forgiveness from the Lord when we fail. You know, and so Jesus would strengthen us with all these things. So how do you describe what this looks like in our day-to-day life? Again, neither one of us are saying that we're perfect at this by any means. Always room for growth. So how can we do this in our day-to-day life of providing that Christian parenting environment for our home?
Well, I think we've already kind of talked about one, and that is just modeling this in our daily lives, in our own actions, the things that we say, the things that we do, and we can come back and talk about that a little bit more. But I think there's two specific examples that we really want to get into, and one is corporate worship. You talk about modeling for our children. If we tell our children, you need to go to church on Sunday, but we don't model that in our own lives, and we sleep in on Sunday morning and we don't go to church, our kids recognize that. So we want to model the fact that, and not just modeling, okay, kids, we have to get out of bed and we have to go to church today, but to model the joy. Hey, kids, guess what today is? Today's Sunday. You know what we get to do today? We get to go to God's house. We get to worship Him. We get to hear His word. You see the difference in those two approaches, right?
It's a reminder for us as pastors, too, that we want to model that attitude and that joy
absolutely
in our worship and not bring in the lamentation drudgery.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That this is such an important part. But we model the importance of going to worship and showing that that's more important than sports. It's more important than going to that concert. You know, this is the most important thing in our life, and we need to model that to our children. If we say that church is important, but we don't show that with our actions, our kids see that. And what they're going to do is they're going to learn by that, that even though dad and mom said this, we know that it's not true because that's not the way that they live their lives. And so when they get to be adults, you can guess what they're going to model. They're going to model the same thing where, oh yeah, you know, it's important to go to church, but only if there's nothing else really going on that morning. You know, it's a last case priority as opposed to a first opportunity to go and serve the Lord. So that I think is one really important aspect. Do you have a thought?
Yeah, just a real quick tangent, you know, with the whole COVID thing that's been happening, you know, the idea there is that you can still model that even if you're staying at home. I mean, so it's like, well, we're going to put off the service today, even though we're worshiping online, because we've got other things we're going to do this morning, whether it be go fishing or hiking or whatever it might be. We're going to do this as a family, and it's a family day. Well, is family day more important than spending time with the Lord and His word? And so we can still model that even if we're not attending at this time. Now, I'm not saying that I'm in favor of one or the other. Every family's got to make up their mind of what they're going to do in person or online, but they need to decide they're going to do it,
right?
Follow through. That's the point you're making about that modeling of that attitude.
Absolutely.
What's most important.
We can model that even if it isn't in person, and many, many families are in that situation. If they have, you know, individuals in the family that are, you know, if they have struggles or there's concerns or risks in connection with COVID, you know, we certainly understand that they're not coming at a distance, right? All of those cases, those are unique situations. The question is, are you making it a priority in your life in whatever opportunity and means you have available to you? And are you prioritizing that and showing that to your family and to your children?
Out of anything we've talked about, that's really where it starts.
Right.
Is the Word of God our priority? Because that's going to be the best Christian model, Christian parenting that's going to be transmitted to the children, that's going to be impressed upon them from whatever age it is, young or old. Maybe we didn't do that when our children were younger. Well, we can show them how one can change, and we can show them how maybe I wasn't always doing a good job leading devotions with my family. That can change. I can show them that this needs to be more of a priority in my life, and let me teach you now versus not at all.
Well, you just brought up the second point, and that's our family devotions. And that is just as important as worship on Sunday or worship on Wednesday, whenever it might be. This is that, again, the opportunity for a parent to illustrate and to apply the teachings of God's word in a family setting. You know, it's one thing for you to go to church on Sunday, you listen to the sermon, on your way home, you talk about the sermon. How does this sermon apply to us in our daily lives? What was this thing that happened this week that, you know, this really, it fits into that context? In your daily family devotions, you have the opportunity to do that at your own time, at your own pace, and at the level of whatever your kids are, whatever ages they are. This is something that we do not want to miss out on. It gives them the opportunity to learn Bible history through Bible stories, and then to learn the applications of those Bible stories through the discussion that takes place in that family environment.
And the best part about that, you don't have to be a pastor to work up a Bible study. I know a lot of parents struggle when they talk about trying to do this at home, is that you find a good, solid devotional book that applies God's law and gospel, and then you get the opportunity, like you said, to talk about what the other person has commented on, to really say, well, this means something to me because I just went through this in my life. You know, I just had a coworker that struggled with this particular sin, and so this message means a lot to me because I can show that same forgiveness that God has shown to me. And so you're modeling that care and concern for not only your coworkers or other people in your lives, but how to apply God's word to your daily life as well.
When, and like you said, Neil, there have been people, and I'm sure that you've run into people like this too, members of the congregation that have, you know, that have come up to you and said, you know, Pastor, I want to do this, but I just don't know. I don't know where to start. I didn't have a parent who modeled this in when I was a child, and I'm not sure. I want to do this as the leader of my family, but I don't know where to start. So we put together a couple of different, what we would call family devotion settings that have prayers and hymns and devotion resources, confessions, all of these things in there. And you can use whatever you want out of them based on whether your kids are young or old. And I presented that to the men's retreat last year. And I had a man who came up to me afterwards. He said, I am so thankful to get this. He said, I've been wanting to do this, but I just didn't know where to start. And this is what I needed in order to take that step forward to model this for my family. So if people are looking for something along those lines, feel free to email us and we can get those resources sent out to you. We also have a list of different devotion books that people can use based on whether you have young children or older children in your family that are helpful resources to walking you through doing family devotions in your home. So don't hesitate to email us at burdenofblessing@gmail.com to get some of those resources.
Well, and just kind of concluding with the resources idea is that I think for me, the best way that I can stay focused and be in God's word is that I need to have it all around me. You know, under my computer screen right in front of me, I have Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So this is why people, I think, I hope, put Bible verses on their walls and in pictures and try to have it in front of them, because we want it, like Deuteronomy 6 says, to be in front of our eyes at all times. We want, as Psalm 1 says, to be sitting in that counsel of the Lord or lying down or waking up with it. We want that to be nourishing us daily, because we're daily sinning much and we deserve nothing but God's punishment. We have that grace of Christ we want to read and rejoice in, and that encourages us to want to pick up the daily devotions, that encourages us to want to go back to God's house to be refueled for this earthly journey that's so short and so quick, that we want to continue to remind our children, remind the next generation, remind their nieces and nephews and everyone, all the young people, all the older people, that God has countless refueling stations so that we make it to that promised land of heaven with our Lord forever.
Yeah, one thing I think that that is helpful for me, Neil, is the realization that I only get one chance with my kids. There's no second chances. You can't go back and do it all over. And how many times have you talked to parents who have reflected on, and we do it ourselves. We look back and we say, you know, I wish I would have done things different. I wish I would have known then what I know now.
Spend
if I
more
did.
Time.
Absolutely.
And yeah, cast the cradle so, type of thing, right?
keep that in mind, that this is the opportunity that the Lord has given to us. Every day is a gift with our children. And it's a gift that he has given to us, as we talked about last time, as a stewardship. They're his children. And what a joy it is to make the most of those opportunities, to prepare them. And the joy that will be ours as we see our children, as Psalm 1 says, flourishing because of that river of water that we have provided for them through God's word. There's nothing like that. what a joy that is to see them budding, flowering, producing fruits as a result of the word in their lives that the Lord has given us the opportunity to provide for them.
Totally agree. The one last comment I want to make too is, whether you have children or not, we already mentioned this briefly before, is that, you know, that cool aunt or uncle, you know, that the kids like just hang on their every words, love to see them when they come to the home or when they go over to their house. You know, the neat part about that is that they have such a way of impacting. So if you can be that godly example, whether you have children or not, I think that's what it comes back to, is that, you know, the young people, they're definitely impressed by their aunts and their uncles and their things like that. And so be that awesome aunt or uncle, be that parent that continues to lead and direct your child with the strength of Christ, with the wisdom of God, with that joy in your heart of your Lord. But it begins with you, it begins with your joy for your Savior, and continues to be motivated by that gospel of our Lord, like you just mentioned, Nathaniel. So very timely, all this discussion, I think, and a big encouragement for me, where I failed a lot, and I look back to Jesus for forgiveness and strength to continue to recognize that my hand is in His, you know, for that strength and for that leadership and direction and guidance.
Yeah, so this podcast was particularly focused on Christian instruction. Next time in our podcast, we're going to take up the topic of discipline, which is another really big issue. Again, a lot of tears shed over this one too, but I think there'll be a lot of application that we'll be talking about in that one too. So we hope that you'll join us for our part three in this ongoing series in Christian parenting with Christian discipline next time. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.